Welcome to On Your Own Terms. This is the place where we learn together what it takes to change the world on our own terms and in our own special way. Today, we welcome nonprofit founder Deidre Mayberry on her own terms about her homegrown solutions for a patchwork world.
Welcome, Deidre.
And I'm going to start, as always, with my first question, which is, tell us about homegrown you. Where were you grown? Who are your people? What do you want us to know about your background?
So I am originally from San Antonio, Texas, where we were a military family. That was home for many years, and we always came back to San Antonio. So it was always home. Parents in the military. Mom worked 2-3 jobs just to keep the family afloat because there's so many of us. I think at an early age, I understood hard work. I understood sacrifice, and I understood creating what you needed to make it work for your family. So I got to see that firsthand. I think that really has helped shape me as a person to know that I'm very different than anyone else that I've encountered. And my story is different. My opportunities in life are different. And how I had to go about correcting those were very different. But I got the blueprint that it was okay and you had to do what worked for your family and what made sense. That is where I'm from. San Antonio is all about family and friends, and it's such a supportive place. I always say San Antonians are very friendly. Other places in the world, you get polite, but they are so friendly. That has really shaped me as a person. I've never met a stranger, and I value just different people and understanding that everybody needs something a little different. An issue that I think is super important to me is adult literacy. And in this case, adult e-literacy is huge. There is 130 million adults in the US that cannot read above a third grade level. And that is a huge problem. And it really kind of goes back to, I always ask the question or let people know, you know, we all know a child that struggles with reading and maybe just hasn't been able to really get their footing in that area. But what happens when they go through grade school and they still never master their literacy? Well, in a matter of just one day, they go from children who struggle with reading to adults who struggle with reading. And there's already so much stigma as a child, but it's magnified once you're an adult. Because again, you're a child, it's okay. People expect that, but people don't expect that as an adult. So there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of hiding. And there's so much embarrassment that you don't even ask for help. You just kind of keep your head down low and you just try to figure it out yourself, which a lot of times just, it never really allows you to really fully hit your potential. And so for me, my heart, and it's really special because it was my issue. It was something I went through as a child and then as an adult. And there were very limited resources for adults. There weren't as many safe places for adults to work on it. It was very public. So our solution is we have created a safe place that is confidential for an adult to work on their literacy. That way it's not broadcast. You don't have to meet this day at a certain time. It's really flexible to what you need as an individual to really help you work on your literacy so that you can have a better quality of life, whether that is a living wage job, whether that's just confidence building, whether that's you stopping generational things. We really help, our solution helps with all of that. So that is what we're doing and what I'm super passionate about. We had to realize that a lot of people are still hiding and they're afraid. So that was really the goal behind podcasts and being guests on podcast shows, was to really help to educate that there is a problem, not just that there's a problem, but there is a solution. So we really utilize any type of media coverage, whether that be podcasts, whether that is local or national media. So where we have the opportunity to be featured on some shows and just in news, that's how we really get the majority of our participants, which we call adult learners, so they can know about it. Yes, we post it all over social media. It's on our website. But if you are not a strong reader, you might not be able to really understand and see that. So we really heavily rely on the media coverage in any one of those platforms that I just recently mentioned to really get our word out. It's a lot of word of mouth. It is a lot of if educators, you know people or someone in their family or whatever that looks like. We always say the gentle not saying, hey, I think you need this, check it out. It is just, hey, I learned about this new cool thing, and allowing them to look into it because they don't want to be exposed, right? So it's just sharing. So we always ask people to share because you never know who needs it. Because someone who is functionally illiterate, they have some skills, but not enough to function well. So they might want that and they still don't want that exposure, whether they already have jobs and they don't want their employer to know, because then they might feel like, oh, I'm going to lose my job if they find this thing out. But that's why we give them that safe space to really work on it privately. And everything we do is virtual. It can be where if it's their hour on their lunch break, if it's them in their home somewhere, if it's them sitting in the car, if they have a hotspot, we make it so easy for them to really work on it without them having to come to a physical location with other people. Because we also realize that people with learning differences, they all need something different. So sometimes when we try to do the classroom setting, you're going to always miss what someone needs in trying to take care of the mass of the class. So this allows us truly that one-on-one to see what you as an adult learner need for yourself. So we can really hone in on that, because most people are afraid to say, oh, I need help. I don't get it if other people get it. So that's how you miss people along the way as well, because they don't want to be the person that's holding back the class. So we really try to keep it to one-on-one. The max we do is one-on-two if two adult learners are on the same level. But all of our volunteers, we require that they're certified educators so that they have some type of teaching experience, a teaching certificate. So whether it's current or they're retired, it is someone that's a certified educator. So we are pairing them with a certified educator that fits their same time slot that they need. And then even sometimes if it's a skill set, if there's something a little more where someone knows that they're dyslexic and we have a dyslexic specialist that is a tutor, then we'll partner them with someone that can really help meet that extra need that they have. There's been some speech things, or we have speech specialists that are also our tutors that we're really able to connect them so that it just works as best as possible for the adult learner that needs the support. So they sign up online, and if they're not able to fill out the application, they can call us and we will fill it out for them, just asking them the questions, because some of them may not be able to fill out an application, and we understand that. It is free to the adult learner. So one of the other barriers that we realized is a lot of people that need the support, they financially don't have the means. And that was one of the things we were finding that were stopping adults from really getting the help, because in some situations it was a roof over my head or paying for the tutoring lessons, right? And tutoring, if anyone has had tutoring for their children or themselves, whether it be reading or an instrument, it can be costly, you know, weekly. So we try to remove that barrier. It's free of cost to them, to the adult learner. Someone's paying for it, but it's not them. We started the nonprofit in 2020. Literally in the midst of the pandemic. We had no idea the pandemic was about to happen. We were ready March 12th. And for us in Dallas, Texas, March 13th, the whole city was shut down. So we were like, we're launching our nonprofit. Is this really happening? And we really had to make the hard decision. Are we still going to move forward or are we not? And we decided to move forward. So in that, it's been a slower start for us from, you know, being able to really get people where everyone was terrified about what the world was going to present itself. But we have done well for what we're able to carry from like a resource standpoint. So right now we have 12 tutors, and we have some that are doing our bare minimum and they're supporting two adult learners. And then we have others that are working with anywhere from 5 to 8. In that, we're currently servicing 38 adult learners, but we have a waiting list of 85. Outside of like a lot of the media coverage, we had a lot of people sign up, but unfortunately not so many signed up to be able to support. We're realizing we're going to have to shift to actually having paid instructors so we can really reach and support the mass of adults that need our assistance. And once you really start doing the work and the research, you realize, wow, there's so many people. And because we're virtual, a good chunk of our adult learners are local Dallas, Texas, but we have a couple that are in California. We have tutors that are in New York. And I think that has been the beauty of it being virtual. It doesn't restrict us from helping anyone who truly needs help. Where we are looking one day to be global because of COVID, it allowed us to do that a lot sooner. There is no restriction on where you're located. If you just have a means, a device, whether you have a device, you're able to rent one from your local library. As long as you're able to connect with us online, then we're able to support you. Our first year was all just friends and family that were really donating and really helping to kind of keep things afloat and supporting in that aspect. And then as we kind of gotten out of that first year of what's happening and the world was kind of getting back to the new norm, we've had the opportunity from local businesses here. I was honored to be on the Kelly Clarkson show where Scholastics and Kelly combined donated $10,000 that really helped us with some of our platform and the rest of our curriculum. So that was pretty exciting. And then another company, a grocery store, HEB Central Market, also donated $10,000. So just really helping with those key things that we kind of needed to get things going. So really just out of network of like from just different jobs worked in the past, family, friends, and some organizations that have really stepped in, that's really helped us. But like I mentioned a little bit ago, we're really realizing that our hope was that it could just be a volunteer base. But the need is so great that we really are going to have a paid staff so that we have those educators on standby to really help the need of the people. So in that looks like making sure that we can hire educators and that we can have a fair wage for them as well as we hire them to really be able to support the adults that are in need. So that's kind of our biggest need right now is really being able to onboard certified educators as our tutors that we pay to be able to help support the need of these adults that have raised their hand that are on our waiting list saying, I need this service, I need this help. So that's really kind of our biggest thing. Where we've been doing a lot of programs with United Way, and we've gotten grants to be a part of their programs that help with a solid business plan and just kind of accelerating the business. Those things are happening. So we're able to, but just really that financial piece in that realm of just where things are. And then when you get to educators, that is another piece. So if it's not, maybe it's not a monetary donation, maybe it's, is there a certified educator that has 4 hours a week that they're willing to donate to be able to help? So 4 hours a week allows one educator to support two adults. So at minimum, our program is not effective if we're doing anything less than 2 hours a week. So the minimum is 2 hours a week. So 2 hours a week will allow us to support one adult learner. That's always something I sell. I know that teachers are busy right now and life has changed drastically for them. But, you know, do they have 4 hours in their week to really be able to change a life, literally changing a life? And then also too, just word of mouth, really trying to remove the stigma in talking about the adult literacy issue that we face in the U.S. and kind of helping to remove that shame by talking about it. And I think in any subject, when you're talking about it frequently, it helps to remove those layers of shame and just hiding. So those are just our three big buckets of support. And also if you know someone that can really benefit from the service, again, I always say, don't tell them you need this, but just, hey, I heard about this new thing and just kind of leave it on them, put it in their lap to decide, but not making them feel bad about, oh, I know that you need this, but just kind of sharing, hey, I heard this cool thing the other day. And if they need it, they'll reach out. That was my biggest thing. I had so much shame. I did not want anyone to know. And it wasn't until I was able to be on Fox 4, my first time ever sharing publicly, like their friends I didn't even know. And I was like, oh my God, I'm sharing this information with all these people. And when the phone was ringing off the hook and person after person that I was talking to, oh my God, you know my story, this is me too. And it was just that same messaging. And it was in that moment that I was like, man, I have been hiding. Most people had been waiting for me to like create this and to start this, where I had let my own shame, my own guilt stop me from helping this group of people that needed me. That gives me courage when I get a little kind of like, oh, I'm sharing my personal business and what are people going to think? It's that thought process that tells me I'm not sharing for me. I'm sharing for those who need me and who need to know that there's hope and who needs to know that there's something out there. And I thought it was only my shame and I was the only one. I'm like, I'm the only one going through this. And I soon found out, no, you're not the only one. There's 54% others out there just like you that are going through this thing. So how do you help? And how do you help lower that number? And that's just kind of been the goal since. And I didn't start working on mine until I was 28. 28 years old is when I first, I just got tired, right? I got tired of hiding. I was just exhausted from all the workarounds that I had to do, because even though I had the opportunity and I had the struggle, I still wanted so much more out of life. So it just created more work for me. And one day I was like, I'm working this hard to hide it. What if I work just as hard to fix it? And I found courage to share. I found courage to share with a friend who happened to be a certified educator. And the fear of what I thought somehow someone would respond when they found out was completely different. She apologized that I got left behind or there was something that just was missed. And she started tutoring me. And just the courage that I had, the confidence, the realizing that I wasn't that far off. I was missing gaps in my literacy. So once we filled those holes, it was just boom, boom, boom. And it gave me the courage to start this and to do this work. And it's been amazing since. And where before, you know, it was hard to say, yeah, I'm 28, could barely read and had all these workarounds. And I relied heavily on like, I watched subtitles while I went with movies just so I can kind of connect things. So I'm like, okay, well, that's what that word looks like. And, you know, whatever that looked like. And I just, again, one day, what if I go back and I just learn the basics? What if I learned the foundation of what literacy is? How will that help? And it's been life-changing since. When you talk to someone who they love reading is their passion, it's really hard for them to understand how someone can't do it. And to understand like, but this is essential. And like, this is a part of life. What do you mean someone can't do this? So I think there's moments where you kind of feel, for me, I felt less than like, oh yeah, well, that's my experience, you know? But then there's also moments where I saw hope. I saw what, if I could get this skill, what doors it would open for me. I saw how my life would change. And that gave me just courage to keep fighting. So where at first it initially made me feel like, man, I'm beneath, I'm lacking this thing. Let me not say too much. Let me just hide. But then when I saw what the freedom that others experience because they have this amazing skill that is essential to life, then I was like, what if I got the skill? And what if that's something that I had, and how would it not be limited, and how would life not feel so hopeless, but how can I feel hope, like hopeful in life now? And it really gave me the courage to want something different and to not settle in what my story was, but to create a different story. I always say I love learning from people because you never know how you living out your life out loud can give someone else hope. It just really helped me to fight for it, right? To say, okay, how can I get this too? And how can I make sure that I have the same skill set so that my life is not limited, because it felt so limited and it's different. It myself, like I always desire so much more. So that burning desire of I'm created for more, but I'm not doing more. And in seeing people just gave me so much hope that were different than me. And I didn't have my same struggle and that were successful and weren't afraid to take risks. And it really was an encouragement to me personally. Organizations that want to fund for education, they think about K-12 only. They think about the next generation. How do we give? How are we donating to support and build our future? But what I feel like is neglected most of the time is the adult is connected to the future. And they're the one that they're laying their foundation. They're laying their, you know, their background and what's important to them. And I've seen it both ways. I've seen it if an adult doesn't have strong literacy, that they overdo it to their children, where their children hate it because they're like, oh my God, it's not fun. They're basically, this is like a life or death and they're making me have this or life will not be great. Or you have some that just don't care because they didn't have it. as long as you graduate high school, that's all I care about. If you make, I don't care if you make C's, just get done. That's important to me. So when you have that, because they can't help their students with their homework, they can't encourage them. A lot of the times they're fearful about being exposed by their kids that they can't read, that they don't have a high emphasis on education and schooling. So I always feel like we're doing a disservice when we think that education and when we're giving out grant money and different things is only K through 12, because it's the adults and the parents that have a direct connection with them. And that's why a lot of teachers give the pressure of, well, you need to be doing this. I think it should be a partnership. The teacher teaches at school and the parent does the homework and making sure, what did you learn at school today? Do you understand? Let's practice. And if we want to be honest, a lot of it, it's all on the teacher. The teacher's having to do all, be all, make sure they did the homework, they understood, they're doing the extra training and the tutoring. And a lot of cases, it's because the parent doesn't have what they need to be able to support and help. So which is why we need to have more programs that are pouring into parents, and not so much where it is workforce development or GED preps and all those. That's great, but it's just giving them a skill. So it's giving them that one skill. It's not giving them the tools to be able to do anything. And that is what we try to do in our program, is we're not just going to, yes, help you to just learn this one job and to be a line worker or a forklift driver, or if you want to do this one thing, we're giving you your literacy and we're bridging that gap so that you can do whatever it is that you want to do. And it's not just limited, because when you want to go shift to do something different, guess what? You now have to go through a whole different program to learn that next career path versus just having literacy skills where you can explore on your own and you can read on your own and you can try new things and not be limited. We just want to help anyone who needs it, because it not only enriches their lives, but it enriches our community, the world, the economy. There's just so much. And we would just, there would be no limits. There would be no limits at all. We would be everywhere doing all things. So yeah, that is where definitely the sky was the limit. That's where it would be. We can get everyone reading, every adult reading to a sixth grade level, it has the potential to add $2.2 trillion back into the economy. And that's just a sixth grade level. That's not even, you went to high school, you're at college, like all of that. So like when you think about just all things, and when you look at it on that scale, if we can get everyone to be reading at a sixth grade level, that would add $2.2 trillion back into the economy. That is mind blowing of where we are. And truly why we need to pour into this, you know, I say this left behind group, this forgotten about group, because there's so much that's lacking, just because we don't have people that can have the skill set to step into those roles. And when you really look at it, it's not like a doctor or anything. It's very basic, but that's where some of adults are reading at such a basic level, they can't even step into something that is not as challenging or complicated, but that would still bring a lot of enjoyment versus where they are now. I was just sharing, I did a home visit with someone just because they very low literacy. It was hard to kind of walk through the online thing. So I said, you know what, I'll come to you. And walking them through the very basic of all things. And before I left, I was asked, before you leave, can you read this note for me? And it was a notice that they had, and it was just about an inspection. And it was in that moment, I was like, this is why we're doing this work. Because something that was so simple to others of, okay, yeah, this is a note from my apartment complex. They're telling us about an annual inspection and all the things. This person couldn't even read. And I was so happy that I was there, that I was able to read it for them so they could know. So they weren't charged with these fines because they didn't have things moved from the window or making sure that their smoke detectors had batteries, because there was a dollar amount attached to if these things aren't done. And we're coming this day. I want to know when someone's entering my home. And it just showed me why this work is important. And I'm grateful, like along my own journey where the work is hard. And sometimes when you're fighting for those grants and you're fighting for support and you don't really feel like you're always getting it, it's those moments that help align me to be like, okay, this is why I'm doing the work and this is why I'll continue. But that's why some people don't go to the doctors. they'll prolong. That's why there's so many work injuries, because people are able to fully read things to keep them safe at work. There's so many work injuries that are directly connected to illiteracy in the workplace that it's crazy productivity from just really not being able to work at the right level because it's taking a lot longer. It's connected on so many levels. So our website is readingtonewheights.org. And that's everything spelled out. And that is where you can volunteer. That is where, if you know someone or yourself, you need the service, you can sign up to be an adult learner. And also that is where you can go to donate. On LinkedIn, it's our same Reading to New Heights. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find us on Facebook at Reading to New Heights as well. And then on Instagram, you can find us at Reading_New Heights. On our website, you'll find our number to the office. So you can call. If we miss you, leave a message. We'll call you back. Even if it's to get more information, we're open to doing just information calls. People just want to know more. How does it work? What does it look like? And that's on both sides, whether you want to take some classes with us or whether you're interested in getting involved, or even if you want to donate. Some donors really have specific of where they want the money to go. And we talk through all of that and we're open to that. So that is how you can reach us. I think a lot of people truly don't understand the difference between being illiterate and functionally illiterate. And you can be successful and still be functionally illiterate. Be aware of that. And if there is even not saying, maybe you're not reading at a third grade level and you're reading at a sixth, you can still utilize the service and you can still get whatever holes and gaps that you feel like you may need. Or if you feel like, you know, just different things, like it's not beneath anyone, I think is what I want to say. I think a lot of people kind of go to the very dark and, well, I know nothing. Well, yes, we do help people like that. But we also have had people that are police officers that work in some type of healthcare facility, no matter what level that is. So there's space for everyone. And if there's just something that is forgotten or that we feel like we need to address or that they feel like they're not comfortable with, we're that service too. And I think so many times we think anything that's nonprofit, we think no skills at all, but that's not true. You can be a successful professional and still don't read well, or still don't have strong spelling skills or whatever that looks like. And if you have the desire to improve that, then we're that stop for you as well. We're here for that comfort. We're here for them to get the skill set. And that's the cool thing about reading is it's only really up to a certain amount that we can teach you. And then it's just the practice and then you still exploring that really kind of helps that continuation. But once you get the foundations are there. And once you're learning and adding on, it's just taking all those things that you've already learned to figure out those more challenging, bigger words that you may come across. But our whole goal is to make sure that you have a strong foundation.
Wow. Thank you, Deidre. You've got me really thinking about all the ways that we can support adult learners throughout our lives as teachers, as people who are committed, and as people who are always on our own literacy continuum. I think sometimes we often forget, we think we get through school and we are supposed to have mastered our learning journey. And I think it's really important for us always to be lifelong learners. And if people realize that that includes our literacy development. So I want you to see these resources that Deidre has referenced during this program. The statistics that she shared with us, she gave me this reference to this Forbes article that is indeed really powerful. I encourage you to look it up, as well as the Barbara Bush Foundation that provides a lot of the data and the support needed for literacy across the ages. And we all know that Barbara Bush was an educator her whole life long. So I know that she is cheering Deidre on from wherever she is out there in the universe. If you want to be a change maker like Deidre Mayberry, remember that you can follow our work at Blue Roads Education that is all about celebrating, supporting, and cultivating the work of change makers. We use a model that I've developed called the Changemaker Journey that focuses on homegrown solutions for a patchwork world, or what I call our beingness, our doingness, our connectingness, and our reflectiveness. Remember that you can go to blueroadseducation.org to learn more about our programs and our offerings and to download your free copy of the ebook Changemaker You. I hope to see you there. I hope to see you here again next week. And in the meantime,
may you be grounded in your beingness, guided in your doingness, generous in your connectedness, and inspired in your reflectiveness, so you can change the world on your own terms. I'm Patty Talbot. I'm always learning, and I know you are too.